Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Last week, two men claimed that they'd been robbed of about $5 million worth of gold bars that they were transporting along I-95. According to their story, when they pulled over to fix their truck or attend to illness, three armed men appeared, took the gold, tied them up, and sped away. Do you believe them? Well, if so, you might believe that the redistricting of the state's congressional and legislative districts was a nonpartisan, public-spirited effort. Or you might believe that politics played no part in the University of North Carolina Board of Governors' decision to end the tenure of President Tom Ross. And you might even believe that the board's decision to terminate the UNC Chapel Hill Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity was not driven by politics. Well, partisan political machinations and redistricting and election law changes, that's nothing new. But not so obvious is the role of politics in public higher education. However, we got to remember that the university's Board of Governors is a creature of the legislature, the same legislature that it selects every one of its 32 voting members. So a board member who displeases the legislative majority will not be elected for another term. Thus, board members are understandably responsive to legislative pressure. If the legislature does not like what the board is doing, it can step in directly to make changes in the university system, as it did in 1963 when it passed the notorious speaker ban law that limited free speech on campuses. The legislature rules. Thus, if strong partisan Republican legislators expressed the wish that the president of the university should be someone other than a person selected by the former Democratic-controlled board, would the current board have to listen? Yes, but they would understandably be uncomfortable simply dismissing an able president with whom they'd worked very well. So they would have said to their legislators, give us some more time. We'll get him to step down at the end of the year when he reaches 65. Well, if that was the plan, Ross messed it up when he refused to go along, and he left the board leadership unable to give a reason for its action. Similarly, a Republican legislature chafed at the Poverty Center led by Jean Nickel, whose regular newspaper columns attacked the direction of the legislature and the Republican governor. The legislature ordered a study of centers at every public university, but the board knew which one the legislature wanted gone. Legislature rules and the board listens. But listen to this now. There is a trade-off that can be positive. The legislature also listens to board members that it has selected and it trusts. And as they learn about university programs and management, many board members become effective advocates for legislative support. Also, they can act as buffers to slow down or dilute unwise actions the legislature might otherwise take. So even those who disagree with the board's recent decisions should resist the temptation to treat board members as enemies or demons. In the current political situation, board members may be the university community's best and only hope. This is D.G. Martin.